listening to Real News with David Knight.
Welcome to Real News. I'm David Knight on this Wednesday, November 22nd. This is the busiest travel day of the year, they say typically, or it may be Sunday. That might be actually busier. But a lot of people are traveling. We're hoping that you're having a safe trip. We're going to take a look at what is happening to our transportation system, how it is being taken over by stealth, what that's going to mean for your travel in the future, and what does it mean for your travel right now as you're seeing these long holiday lines. So we've got that coming up. We're also going to be talking about some new revelations as to what's going on with the sex crimes in Congress, the sexual assault. Will we get any reporting? Are we entitled to know who these people are? Why aren't the Democrat women in Congress more concerned about exposing this? We've got sexual harassment training that they're talking about putting in place. But what about exposing the people that have done this? Are they going to do something about John Conyers? We've got another accusation that's come out now after the one that was revealed yesterday. And we're going to give you an update on that, as well as the reluctance of the Democrats to do anything about it. And also, we have James Comey criticizing President Trump because he says, he didn't come out with an endorsement for Roy Moore, but it was pretty close to it. He said, we really don't need a Democrat like Doug Jones in there. He's bad on the military. He's bad on borders. He's bad on taxes. He's really bad on abortion. And talking about abortion, we have an amazing video coming up that got an abortion clinic closed. This is an abortion clinic that's been under investigation for probably 30 years. They have bragged about how quickly and efficiently they could provide an abortion, spending only 2 or 3 minutes on each woman. One woman and several women have had to have emergency treatment. One woman would have died if her mother, who hadn't accompanied her, hadn't gotten an ambulance for her because the staff didn't do it. And we're going to play for you what the doctor, who has been performing abortions for 30 years, did to one of the abortion protesters that got him fired. Absolutely amazing, demonic character that we see in this. Today, we've had 8 people rescued after a U.S. Navy aircraft has crashed in the Philippines. Rescuers have picked up 8 people. There are still 3 missing in the sea. This is south of Japan. A U.S. Navy aircraft with 11 people on board came down in the Philippine Sea. It's the latest incident to hit American armed forces in East Asia. Several crashes of ships. U.S. authorities told Japan that engine trouble was the suspected cause of the accident. The aircraft was conducting a routine transport flight carrying passengers and cargo. So still, 3 people are missing in that. 8 people have been rescued and sent to hospital for treatment. Remember, we reported a few days ago about how American and UK forces had escorted people who were with ISIS, the headquarters of ISIS, if you will, in Syria, Raqqa. That had become their geographical headquarters. As that was destroyed, and as the anti-ISIS forces had prevailed there, UK and American forces escorted ISIS members out of there, several hundred of them. And the French ISIS people had said that they were heading back to France for a day of reckoning. I find it interesting that as the Christmas market in France was shut down because they did not want to offend Muslims, now there are Muslim street prayers in Paris on a boulevard, and there have been counter-protesters and French counter-protesters, and they have now shut this down. They basically had created an open-air mosque where they were doing street prayers after a public building that they had taken over using for a mosque was shut down for public use. They demanded to be provided a mosque by the government. They did not do that. So then they just started shutting down the streets and the boulevards in this area of Paris and having their open-air mosque. Now that has been shut down. Will there be a day of reckoning? I think it's already started, quite frankly, in France. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Found it. It's the Real News
InfoWars.com studios in Austin, Texas. It's your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight on this Wednesday, November 22nd, 2017. I was just talking about what has happened in Paris. One boulevard had turned into an open mosque after the government had shut down the use of a public building as a mosque by the Muslim people. There's so many of them. The picture's absolutely amazing. They've filled the street. They're there doing their prayers and taking over that street. They had about 60 people who were French conservatives who counter-protested, singing Marseille, the French national anthem. And that caused some clashes. The Muslims were angry that they were not being given a mosque, provided that for free by the French government. Now they've said they're not going to be allowed to meet in the streets. And as I was reminding people in the last segment, as they shut down Raqqa, as we defeated ISIS in that town, U.S. and U.K. forces escorted hundreds of ISIS jihadis out. And there was a large group of them who were from France, and so they were returning for a day of reckoning. We'll see what happens. And again, they're afraid now in Paris to have a Christmas market that has been canceled because it's too offensive to the Muslims. So we see a back and forth, a tug there as that country is being taken over. It's interesting that we have Chris Hayes, who is an MSNBC anchor, the guy that kind of looks like Rachel Maddow. Kind of doppelgangers for each other. He tweeted out that as Fox's Judge Jeanine was charged for driving 119 miles per hour in upstate New York, where incidentally no one was harmed. Let's just get that. This is for those of you who are alarmed because it is a triple digit speed limit. That's, you know, basically I look at that and it's like, well, was anybody hurt? No, then there's no crime. It was a victimless crime. Chris Hayes comes out and says, I'll note that this was a far greater threat to public safety than overstaying a visa or sneaking across a border. And instantly on Twitter, people replied. Jesse Kelly writes, a Border Patrol agent who got his head caved in by a rock yesterday is unavailable for comment. Another one points out, I would imagine Kate Steinle's family, and by the way, that case is still in trial. There's a jury. This is the lady who was shot by an illegal immigrant in San Francisco. I think it's there at the wharf. And that was a very key crime that drew a lot of attention to the illegal immigrant issue at the beginning of the Trump campaign. That has gone to a jury. And it surprised me that it didn't come back immediately with a guilty verdict. They're having to think about this. They have to think about this? Nevertheless, they said, I would imagine Kate Steinle's family would argue against your position here, Christopher. And another one says, Chris, if you had to make a choice between riding with her at 119 miles per hour or being caught in a dark alley by MS-13, which one would you choose? That's exactly it. And again, as I've said many times, people don't understand risk anymore, do they? They think that everything is either 100% safe or 100% risky. Are 100% dangerous and you know, inescapable. But that's an issue of the risk. What are you going to take a risk with? Are you going to take a risk with MS-13? As I pointed out many times, the area of Long Island where my wife grew up, now they have, in that one county, 400 MS-13 gang members. They know they're MS-13. They've got it written all over their faces and tattoos. Right now, the violence has been targeted towards other Hispanic immigrants who have come here illegally. And because the border is open, MS-13 just follows them across and then kills them for inter-rivalries or kills them for initiation rites or whatever, or kills them because they don't like them hanging around their boyfriend. And it's heinous murders. I mean, these people are being butchered. So you got MS-13 butchering Hispanic students on Long Island in Suffolk County. It's absolutely amazing. And the government will not do anything about it. They know they're gang members. They know they're illegal. But, you know, we got to wait till we catch them red-handed in a crime. And that's the government protecting you right there. Meanwhile, yesterday, remember I talked about the Newsweek report that said that Charles Manson, as he died this week, Charles Manson was very much like Donald Trump. He was a cult leader. And he was a very effective communicator. And it's like, well, any leader is a communicator. But now we've got New York Times coming out and saying Charles Manson was just another right winger. The New York Times claims that Charles Manson wasn't so much a warped product of his times, writes MRCTV.org, as he was a crazy right winger, because nothing says conservative quite like establishing your own cult, having rampant orgies on a secluded ranch, doing a whole bunch of drugs, and convincing mentally ill children to murder a bunch of innocent people. Hands up, you caught us. Another pointed out yesterday, Charles Manson was the template for the left. As a matter of fact, he was idolized by the mentors of the left, the mentors of Obama, the mentors of Black Lives Matter, the mentors of Antifa. And that would be the Weathermen, the Weather Underground, Bernadine Dorn, Bill Ayers. Bernadine, his wife, had praised him, as I pointed out yesterday, praised the Manson clan, thought it was so great that they went in and murdered these people, and then just sat there and calmly ate dinner with the corpses all strewn around the floor. And one of them then goes over and sticks a fork in one of the corpses. And she thought it was so great that they named a branch of their Weather Underground the Fork, because that's what they wanted to do. Understand that this helter-skelter race war that he wanted to do was a false flag, that he wanted to create a race war just like Black Lives Matter. He was an eco-terrorist. He was we could call him an Earth-firster, or somebody who believed in the Gaia theory, who wanted to kill off massive numbers of the population because we're destroying the Earth, though. So people need to be killed. The way he wanted to start that was with a race war, and he called that helter-skelter. And he was going to set up a false flag to do it. So does he sound like a conservative for you, or does he sound like the progressives of the Democrat Party? I think when you look at what he advocated, if you look at his behavior, he looks like some of these Antifa people on the college campuses. When we look at Obamacare and the possibility of tax reform, because there's a big push on this, as Trump had said, we've got to get this done by Thanksgiving. Well, that would be like tomorrow. Is that going to happen? I don't know. They're getting pretty close. They came in and said, we're going to remove the Obamacare mandate. Now, a lot of people said that's going to kill it because we could never decide on Obamacare. We have these senators who ran on repealing Obamacare, who ran on doing something about uncontrolled immigration at the borders. They ran on so many things. But then when it comes time to vote on it, when they can really do something, when they were in the minority and when they knew that Obama was going to veto whatever they did, if it even passed, they were so courageous and they would vote the way they had run to get elected. But then when they knew it was going to go all the way through, they changed their votes. And so the question was, is tying the Obamacare mandate repeal, and remember, it was a tax. That was the lie that they sold us when they put it through. And it is a tax. I mean, they hired 16, 17,000 IRS agents. They've got mandates. They have penalties. It's a big part of the tax code. And even though President Trump said, I don't want the IRS to penalize people, he said that at the very beginning of the year, the arrogant IRS commissioner who just finished his term and he was not reappointed, they appointed somebody else, but Trump didn't remove him. But he said just before he left, he said, no, we're going to double down on that. We're not going to accept your tax return if you don't fill out all this stuff about Obamacare. This is the guy who covered up the Lois Lerner fraud on the political fraud against conservative groups. Nevertheless, it is a tax. That is one aspect of it. It is an unconstitutional mandate to buy something from a private company, but then they will tax you as well with it. So it not only saved taxes, but it also saved subsidies that were funded by stealing money from Fannie and Freddie investors. Now, Lisa Murkowski, who had opposed any changes to Obamacare, says she now backs repealing the Obamacare mandate as part of tax reform. She said repealing the individual mandate simply restores to people the freedom to choose. Whoa, that sounds like a Republican. And she doesn't usually sound like a Republican. Maybe it will pass. Who knows? We'll be right back. I'm David Knight. Thank you. Welcome back. I'm David Knight. And as we hear The Great Escape playing in the background, there's just some video footage that has been released of the North Korean soldier who was fleeing North Korea as they were shooting at him. Desperate attempt, and there's surveillance footage. Goes for quite a while before it gets to this point. If you're looking at this, the people on the south side are following the car as it's going along, but he parks the car at one point. All these troops are coming out. They're shooting at him as he's fleeing for the border. He has now regained consciousness. They're talking about the horrible conditions inside North Korea that are revealed by his physical condition. This reminds me of why we have Thanksgiving in this country. As I said yesterday, we have Kim Jong-un talking about how you cannot sing and drink or meet in groups and celebrate there because he's going to shut that down. He's afraid of anything like that happening in his country. Well, they don't really have much to celebrate, do they? People are fleeing there like they used to flee communist East Germany, risking their life to get out of that country. People are risking their life to get into this country. Why is it? Well, it's because of the country that we create here, our legal system, the culture that we have here, the fruit of the very things that Antifa is trying to tear down is why people are trying to come here. And that's why we are thankful at this time of year, because we don't live in a country like the Democrats want to create, a country that is based on progressive socialism, which becomes progressively intrusive, and you get progressively poorer and poorer, and it gets more and more authoritarian. That's what we don't have here, and that's why we're thankful, and that's why we celebrate the country and the culture and the religion, the foundation of all of that, and our legal system. That's why we celebrate it. That's why we don't want to see it changed. We don't hate foreigners, but we don't want foreigners who come here with the express purpose of changing our system. We have something that has provided a great many blessings for us, and we don't want to see that destroyed, as they do. They want what we have, but they don't want the system that gave us what we have. That's the bottom line. Thanksgiving is tomorrow, and we'd like to thank our loyal listeners, those of you who have supported us over the years with specials, and this is a week of specials that we're adding one at a time. Running up to Cyber Monday, we've got some new items that are on special this Wednesday, the 22nd. Supermail Vitality is joining the special at 50% off plus free shipping. Also, Living Defense, 50% off plus free shipping. They joined some other products that we introduced yesterday. BrainForce Plus, 50% off. All ProPure products, 25% off. Silver Bullet, 67% off. Knockout, our all-natural sleep aid, great for when you're traveling, folks, to reset your clock. Melatonin, valerian root, L-tryptophan, a lot of things there that'll help you to reset your clock as you change time zones. All of those, 50% off and free shipping on all these sales. Check out the specials that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. And again, we thank you for your support and wish you a happy Thanksgiving. Let's talk about what happened with this abortion clinic that I talked about at the beginning of the show. Life News reports that an abortion clinic in San Diego has closed after the bizarre behavior of an abortionist. Now, this is a clinic that has been in existence for 30 years. And because of the record of this particular clinic, they have a lot of abortion protesters who are there on a regular basis. And I want to play for you now the video. So you can hear for yourself, and those of you who are watching it, you're not going to be able to see the guy too much because he is right in the face of the person who is doing this and holding surgical scissors as well. We're going to tell you what happened after this incident, but first, I want you to hear this incident.
My friends, I pray, sir, you got to repent, sir. You got to repent, sir, for murdering babies.
Why?
Because it's a sin before God.
Why?
Well,
stinky breath.
Yeah,
why?
That's pretty evil of you, sir.
Yeah, I am.
And I hope and pray that you...
Yeah.
Well, that's what you do to babies, huh?
Yeah, I love it.
You love it, huh?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, I hope that you come to Christ, sir.
Oh, I'd never go to Christ.
I hope that you come to Christ,
no,
sir.
No, I don't go to Christ.
Yeah, you...
I don't listen to Christ.
You will have a darkened heart, sir.
I do have a darkened heart, yeah.
You have a darkened heart.
I do, very, very much
and
so.
You will stand before God in judgment
yes,
day.
Yes, I will. Every day.
You will stand before God in judgment.
Yes, I will. Every day.
All of the babies that
I
you have
I love it.
Killed.
I love it.
Yeah, keep tearing the babies
apart.
Yeah,
I will.
Keep tearing the babies
apart. I will.
Keep tearing the babies apart. Yes, sir. The babies, their blood screams from the ground. Their blood screams from the ground. You are a murderer, sir. You are a murderer.
Hello,
officer.
Okay, so is that behavior, doing that while he's holding a pair of surgical scissors, as well as many, many complaints of malpractice, botched abortions? It caused him to be fired, and they have actually shut down that clinic. The clinic was called FPA Women's Health. Women's Health. Let me tell you how concerned they were about women's health. It was a scene of several medical emergencies that required ambulance transport, reports Life News, including one in September 2015 when a mother accompanying her daughter for an abortion was forced to call an ambulance for her bleeding daughter when the FPA Women's Health staff refused to do so. And it was her action that likely saved her daughter's life. This is one of the reasons why we had the law here in Texas, which I believe wasn't that repealed with a court order. We had some judge, I think, shut that down, saying, you're just trying to shut down these abortion clinics that are there for women's health. But they had put in place a requirement that because they're doing surgical procedures and because you might have an emergency like this where a woman was bleeding, they need to have access where they can at least get gurneys into the building. They said, no, you can't do something like that. That might restrict abortions. We can't be concerned about women's health because this is all about women's health. And so they said, that's simply an anti-abortion tactic. But they say that they're women's health. They've had a presence in San Diego County since the 1980s. They have a very high volume abortion business there. They once boasted that their doctors spent only 3 minutes per patient completing abortions. And they have been forced to move a number of times. And as you look at that guy, get in the face of that abortion protester and taunt him about how, yeah, I love to kill these kids and everything. Remember, same thing happened here in Austin with the protesters who showed up, kind of Antifa communist protesters that showed up. I'll play that clip there, the one where the woman said to my wife, I kill my kids.
How many did I adopt? I kill my kids. How many did I adopt? I kill my kids.
Yeah.
I kill my kids.
Yeah, they're proud of it. As a matter of fact, that woman said that to my wife. And they had another guy bragging about the fact that he had helped 50 women, encourage 50 women. He said he had gotten them pregnant. I looked at that guy and it's like, I don't think so. But whatever, he is proud of the fact that he had encouraged a number of women, regardless of the number, to get abortions. He's very proud of that. And as they were leaving, as my wife and my adopted daughter were leaving, they spit at my daughter. Those are the kind of people that you see at Antifa. Those are the kind of people like Bernadine Dorn and the people who loved Charles Manson. Yeah, conservative people. Actually, they're Antifa, communist, progressive, socialist, Marxist. Those are the labels they deserve, not conservatives. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight.
Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas. It's The Real News with your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight on this Wednesday, November 22nd. It's Thanksgiving. A lot of people are going to be traveling. I'm going to talk to you about that in just a moment. But a lot of people typically watch football games on Thanksgiving weekend. Always the professional football game. I think it was, the Detroit Lions, I think, typically did Thanksgiving. Will that be happening this year? NFL ratings are plummeting, and part of that is reflected in ESPN cutting $80 million in salaries and upcoming layoffs. These people are going to be losing their jobs sometime between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Isn't that nice of ESPN to pick that time of the year to fire people? The S stands for Scrooge, I guess, not sports. They say they're expected to cut millions of dollars in salaries, and they said it's going to be coming at this time. Of course, this is the third round of layoffs, but it's not being helped by what's going on in the NFL. And today we saw the NFL owners saying, we might change this anthem policy. We might keep these guys in the locker room so that we don't have this happening. Really? I mean, what are they going to do if some of the people want to go out of the locker room? Are they going to physically restrain them? Are they going to order them to stay in there or what? Or get fined or fired or whatever? If they're going to do that, then why don't they order them to just stop disrespecting the flag, the anthem, veterans, etc.? Why don't they do that? I mean, they even had it in their rules. We're going to respect the flag. That was when they were being paid by the military. They said, yeah, we're going to start respecting the flag. We're going to go out. Prior to that, it had been kind of a, well, you know, do what you want. You can either stay in the locker room or you can come out and you can be there to sing the national anthem, or while it's being sung, you can stand on the sidelines. So it was kind of up to the players. But then they started getting contracts, and then they put it in the rules. It's like, well, we're going to be out there, and we're going to respect them because we have to understand that we are being watched by the public, and we should not be seen to be disrespecting. So they even talked about how they would the kind of physical stance that they would take, one of respect. But they never enforced those rules, even though, as we've talked about when this all started, they would enforce to the nth degree any kind of non-standard uniforms that might be construed as support for a particular product that they were a sponsor for, or even a cause. Saying that Dallas Cowboys, after some Black Lives Matter fanatics had killed several Dallas police officers, saying, you're not going to be allowed to put commemorative stickers on your helmets. No. We're not going to support that. But we will allow the anti-police, Black Lives Matter, Marxist, communist Colin Kaepernick's protest. We'll allow that to go forward, and we won't stop you with that. We'll say we can't do anything about that. So we see through that hypocrisy, and that's why your stadiums are empty. That's why you've gone from first to worst in popularity of professional sports. And probably it will continue this weekend, especially with the NFL owners saying, yeah, if they're still doing this by the end of the year, then we might keep them in the locker rooms. We might change that policy. Yeah, if they keep doing this by the end of the year, you may not have an NFL that anybody cares about. All right, well, it's travel time. People are heading home for Thanksgiving. They say they expect 51 million people to hit the road for Thanksgiving, and that's people who are driving or flying at least 50 miles to their holiday destination. 1.5 million more than last Thanksgiving weekend a year ago. And as this is happening, we've got a lot of articles, a lot of things that have happened in the last couple of days that really reflect on travel. One of them, of course, is what's happening at the airports. They say the holiday lines may worsen after a poor TSA screening audit. This is yet another time that the TSA has been audited, and they would not give specific figures. But when somebody was talking to an official, they said, 80%? Well, yeah, that's kind of in the ballpark. We've had other people tell us it was higher than that in previous audits, where they would try to have somebody just walk through and sneak something through as they're going through the TSA checkpoints. And so they're saying, well, now we're going to have to make things worse for you. Just talked about yesterday how they had the pre-check, and they were just randomly putting people on pre-check, so much so the pre-check was about 5 times the length of the regular line. So it was actually taking people more time to go through pre-checks. All the people who submitted all their information like good slaves to the TSA said, please treat me a little bit. Here, I'll give you all of my privacy. Will you be a little less harsh on me? Will you make things go a little bit faster for me? Can I trade my freedom for a little bit of expediency? And now what they find is that they're in a longer line. Isn't that interesting? Seems to be that it always goes that way. So they're saying the TSA is scrambling to yet another damning investigation. Second time in a little more than 2 years, a new TSA administrator says that, it's probably going to mean that you're going to have to wait for longer periods of time. Meanwhile, we have Homeland Security Chairman Mike McCaul in Congress, right here in Texas, says he was disturbed by the findings. And he says, America's enemies only have to be right once, but we have to be right 100% of the time. Well, actually, they were wrong 80% of the time or more. Okay, they're wrong about 100% of the time. They don't catch anybody. So here's the question. You know, we hear that little thing, oh, we got to be right 100% of the time, and they only have to be right once to get to us. So if that's the case, if we're wrong 100% of the time, we're not right 100% of the time, we're not even right 10% of the time or 20% of the time. So if that's the case, let me put this to you. Maybe there is no threat, right? If we don't have an effective TSA screening, and these multiple tests show that we don't, 2015 we had an audit, just had another one again, and it isn't working. It's totally ineffective. So does that mean that there is no threat? Remember when John Corbett went through and he was an activist who started getting active because he was upset about these naked body scanners and being forced to go through the x-ray machines or have somebody physically pat you down. So he started to show how ineffective these machines were, and he actually sued them. And as part of the lawsuit, he was able to get discovery of certain documents that the TSA had had. But they didn't want you, the public, to be able to see that. They got to keep this all a secret. They got to keep it a secret that they have no effectiveness whatsoever when they screen people through, because that's part of the security theater. You're just supposed to feel safer. The key here is that they want your freedom, your liberty, your dignity. And they're not going to give you any safety or security. There is no safety or security. And in those documents, which they mistakenly posted on pacer.gov, they put up the unredacted docs first. And we were able to see what they didn't want us to see. What they didn't want us to see was back in 2011. The TSA said there is no current threat to airports or airplanes. And at the very same time that was happening, we had people here in Texas, we had the State House in Texas say unanimously, we are not going to allow them to put their hands on our children. You want to get upset about all these congressmen grabbing butts, grabbing breasts, assaulting women in the workplace? Yeah, that's something to be upset about. But you're not upset when they do it to you by the TSA, are you? You're not upset when it is institutionalized. You're not upset when they do it to your children. Well, there were people here, good people in Texas, who said, no, we're not going to let that happen. Remember what they did? They said, we're going to turn Texas into a no-fly zone. And they got our lieutenant governor, who was an ex-CIA guy. He'd been in the CIA his entire life until he got out and got set up in the oil business by the Bushes and others, became a multi-millionaire, paid the most to become elected lieutenant governor than anybody in the state of history had ever paid to get an elected statewide elected office. And he worked to turn that around and got the Senate to shut that down. And that happened at exactly the same time that the TSA was putting in this lawsuit. There is no threat to airports or airplanes. And I would say to you that if they've got an 80% or higher fail rate and nothing is happening, there is no threat except to our liberty. There is no threat except to our dignity and to our freedom. And you have fallen for it. We all fall for it when we fly through this system here. And so what is happening with the other government-run transportation systems? Well, we see in Sacramento, they just got hit by a hacker who shut down their system that let people buy tickets. But when we come back, we're going to be talking about Uber, the threat to your privacy that these taxi companies, these computerized taxi companies offer, and what's going on in Vegas. They want to set themselves out as the template for banning cars in cities. Yet another reason not to go to that town. Welcome back. I'm David Knight on this Wednesday, November 22nd. Hope you're having a safe travel or going to have a happy Thanksgiving with the people that are coming to you over this weekend. As part of our Black Friday through Cyber Monday specials, we've added a couple of items to our deep discounts, 50% plus free shipping. We've added Supermail Vitality, 50% off plus free shipping. Also, Living Defense, 50% off plus free shipping. They join BrainForce Plus, which is 50% off. All ProPure products, 25% off. And remember, there is free shipping. So if you get something that is a water filter, that can save you a lot of money to get that free shipping. Silver Bullet is 67% off. And Knockout, our all-natural sleep aid. And as I've said before, when you look at Silver Bullet and Knockout, those are two things I take with me when I travel. Silver Bullet, the colloidal silver product, I take that because I want to have something that's antibacterial. And Knockout, because if you're changing time zones, melatonin has been something people have recognized has been very effective for that for quite some time. Your body naturally produces melatonin, but giving your body an additional supplement of melatonin can help you to fall asleep at the time that you need to so that you can adjust to that time change. So Knockout has not only melatonin, but it also has some other all-natural ingredients like valerian root, L-tryptophan, which you're going to get in some of the turkey, but this is more concentrated with that. And other things that will help you to fall asleep safely with natural ingredients. That's also 50% off. All the products are free shipping. So check out what we have as part of our Black Friday through Cyber Monday specials at InfoWarsStore.com. And we thank you for your support. Let's take a look at what just happened to Uber. Regulators in the United States, as well as in foreign countries, are very concerned about the fact that they were hacked and about a year ago, and they kept this secret. They were actually blackmailed. They paid $100,000 to keep a data breach secret. And this is something that New York State Attorney General has opened an investigation. Regulators in Australia and the Philippines said Wednesday they will also look into the matter. People in the UK are very upset. Uber had already lost its privileges in London, and they were trying to get them back. They were taken off of the said that they could not operate in London because they didn't do the right kind of security investigations for their drivers. They felt that it was a security threat because they weren't vetting their drivers. Same thing happened here in Austin. So they're fighting this in a number of different areas, and now this comes out. The fact that personal data from 57 million, let me repeat that, 57 million different accounts was compromised. What is this information if you are an Uber passenger? What did they get about you? Well, they got your name. They got your email address. They got your mobile phone number if you're a user. If you are an Uber driver, they also got your name and your driver's license number of 600,000 U.S. drivers. And Uber has declined to say just how many countries were involved in this information. I mean, that's just 600,000 U.S. drivers. And so they're not still commenting completely as to what is involved in this. Now, in the U.K., they said that because there is a law there that they have to report breaches of their data systems that could affect the privacy of citizens, they may get fined way more than they paid to these hackers. They paid the hackers $100,000. They may get fined £500,000, which is $662,000 under current British law. Organizations that fail to notify affected users and regulators when data breaches occur. Now, their defense is we're under new management. They're under new management. Well, I don't know. I mean, the old management was pretty bad. Remember when there was there were several reports, and this is one of the things that got them taken off in London, several reports of Uber drivers who are not vetted raping or assaulting women. And there was a reporter who was talking about it, and one of the Uber CEOs was bragging, hey, we need to spend a couple $1 million to get some dirt on her and take her down. And then, of course, we've also had the rides of glory. I've talked about that before. Let me just remind you what that was. That was Uber's own blog. And what they did was they said, well, we have taken data looking at where our customers rode. And we're going to assume, we're going to call this a ride of glory because we're going to assume that they're having a one-night stand. And so we're going to say, well, let's look at people who got dropped off in a location that is not their home, stayed there for a couple of hours, and then left in the wee hours of the morning to go home. We'll call that a one-night stand, and in their terms, a ride of glory. Does that kind of analysis, that kind of detailed information that Uber and other taxi companies like them, Lyft, others, are keeping on you, does that kind of give you the creeps? It should. It should give you the creeps. And it should give you the creeps that the government can also do all kinds of activity-based intelligence, all kind of geospatial intelligence on you as well, because that information is going to be turned over to them and they're not going to tell you. They're not going to treat that as a breach of privacy. And so what they did, they thought, well, this is going to be funny. We'll talk about what holidays do we have the most one-night stands? And so they did a cross-tabulation of all of the personal, private data that they keep about you. Knowing enough about you that, hey, this is not your home. You stayed there for a certain amount of time. You went there at this time. And then you catch a taxi close to that location and another Uber driver takes you back home again. Not a taxi, but an Uber driver. And, of course, Uber is a taxi service company. They just claim that they are a ride-sharing company. Yet we don't really operate a taxi company, so we shouldn't have to vet the drivers. And we shouldn't have to make sure that they're trained. And we shouldn't have to have their cars inspected like we do real taxi drivers. And they shouldn't have to pay for medallions, which are so incredibly expensive. You want to know why they have a big price advantage? Because they maintain the fiction that they're not taxis. So the taxis are taxed. Uber and Lyft are not taxed, even though they're taxi drivers. So they have a massive advantage. Why would they do that? Well, because they want to push this, and they don't want you to be able to drive. They want to be able to push self-driving cars that nobody owns and that nobody makes any money from driving, because that's their goal. That's Uber's stated goal, is to get the taxi drivers out of the cars. And they know that the taxis have a very strong union. They want to keep those drivers in the cars. And so they know they're not going to cooperate with them in an environment where they ban human drivers. So they're working with Uber, they're working with Lyft to do this. And that's the key thing that you have to understand, is how they will give them preferential. They'll set up a double standard for these guys. So they do this cross-tabulation thing where they say, well, what holidays? And then they did it another way, and they did it by location, by different cities. How do the different cities compare? So they did it by holiday, they did it by city. That's the kind of information that Uber is keeping on you. And that should make you very concerned. Now, in Las Vegas, in the face of hundreds of lawsuits that have been filed by the victims who were shot or killed, the families of those who were killed, they're saying, we're going to have to do something. We're going to have to be seen to do something. And as I'd reported, about 3 weeks prior to that shooting, 4chan had talked about a quote-unquote high incident project. Somebody said, well, I've gotten some stuff here that looks like there might be something planned in Las Vegas. And they can use that high incident program, that project, to enact controls over people, to put the same kind of scanners and metal detectors, but the body scanners predominantly by Michael Chertoff and his company. We can put these in and we can screen people. Well, it may be something even worse than that. When you go to the airport, and they say, you can't fly unless you prove to us you're not a terrorist. That's not even as bad as what Las Vegas wants to do. They want to say, you're not going to be able to drive a car because you might be a terrorist, and you're not going to be able to prove otherwise. We're just going to ban cars. And we're going to let you take Ubers. Or we're going to let you take public transportation like buses. And here's how they justify it. They say, well, the cars were in the way, and it was making it more difficult for us to get emergency vehicles through and so forth and so on. That's not what's going on. They are pushing for these driverless vehicles there. They were already pushing. Remember a couple of weeks ago where they hailed their first driverless taxis through the streets of Vegas? And within 2 hours of it going out, it was involved in an accident. Now, it was a big truck, like a dump truck or something that backed into this Uber vehicle. But there is such a thing as an avoidable accident. And, you know, people who are continually in accidents that are technically other people's faults, we call them bad drivers. And actually, their insurance rates go up. No horn honking, no ability to back up. The people who were in it said, yeah, the guy backed into us, but the car was just set there frozen, couldn't do anything. So it is a safety issue, and there are other issues, but that's what they're pushing in Vegas. And they say, well, we got to get them off the road. You don't think that the Uber cars are going to be a block for the emergency vehicles or buses or these stupid self-driving cars?
And now, live and uncensored, broadcasting from the great state of Texas, worldwide, it's David Knight.
Welcome back. We're going to get back to transportation as everybody is traveling this weekend. Many people traveling today, probably even more traveling on Sunday. This is something that has really become part of our heritage of freedom here in America. One of the things that we celebrate here, one of the freedoms that we celebrate here, is the ability to move, the ability to go where we want, when we want, to do so anonymously, to do so privately, to do so in the manner in which we choose. If we want to not spend a great deal of money on a car, we can go out and get a beater car, drive that during the winter or whatever, or just drive a very simple used car that we can get. Or some people want to spend a great deal of money on the car. That's their prerogative. And Americans like to be able to not have to wait on public transportation. But the government doesn't like that. The government has always sought to put us in a box, literally. I recounted before the time when I went to a city council meeting back in Raleigh. And one of the city councilors had just gotten back from Russia. And she was so excited. This was shortly after the Soviet Union had fallen. She was so excited. She said, I could go anywhere in Moscow for 50 cents. We need to have that here in Raleigh. I mean, it's not a big metropolis. And it's like, you have no idea what the true cost. That was the price of travel. What was the true cost to the people of Moscow? Well, it cost them everything. It cost them their freedom. It cost them the money that was spent on this government system. But what she saw was the ability to control your movement, to make you dependent upon them, because you have to go to the government in order to be able to move through the area. You're not independent of the government. They hate it when you're not independent of them. They want you to be dependent on them for everything. They want you to be dependent on them for education. They want you to be dependent on them for housing, even for food and for transportation. This is an act of war, folks. And I'm going to tell you in the next segment that this is about more than just your freedom as a traveler. This is something that is going to take down our economy, even more so than the outsourcing of jobs to foreign countries or the importing of cheap foreign labor into this country with open borders, which is what the Republicans want out of the open borders. The Democrats want voters. The Republicans want the Republicans who are running the uni-party leg of the establishment. They want cheap labor. And so that's why the two of them in the uni-party are giving us open borders. So we're going to talk about that in a moment. You know, it was on Monday night that we saw Elizabeth Warren go on Stephen Colbert's show, the late show on CBS. And she said that President Trump, by calling her Pocahontas, was using a racist slur. And it will not silence her. She will not be silenced. Just like just like Shia LaBeouf, she will not be silenced. You know, she's going to be out there. Pocahontas, I think she doesn't realize, as we do, what Donald Trump is really saying about her. Pocahontas is really what we're laughing at. The fact that she would use this to try to appeal to people to vote for her. This is the identity politics. She can't just be Elizabeth Warren. She has to be Elizabeth Warren, also an Indian. Vote for me. And people are laughing at you, Elizabeth Warren. I mean, we don't know that you're just a kind of a bossy schoolmarm, but the fact that you're out there trying to be a Indian is what everybody is laughing about. I don't know. I think people need to understand in Massachusetts that they've got a really good independent candidate there, and Shiva Ayadure is somebody who is very wise, very intelligent, very freedom-oriented. Someone who is a very intelligent entrepreneur, that's the guy they should be supporting, not Elizabeth Warren. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You found it. It's the real news. From the Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight. I hope you are having a good time, a safe trip if you're traveling. I hope that you're able to find some way to get where you want to go without going through the airport and being harassed by the people there. That's why I'm not going anywhere this Thanksgiving, because I now hate to fly. I despise it with a passion. I only fly when I absolutely must. Because it is a business trip. I really despise it. It ruins any vacation that I have. What happens at the beginning and the end of it leaves such a bad taste in my mouth. And so I thought I would play for you this clip from American Carol, the people who did some great parody movies. And it was loved by conservatives. It was hated by liberals because it was very politically incorrect. It was something that came out in July, the year that it came out. And it was the same year that, what was that? What year was it? 2007. The same year that they, you know, that they came out with that. And this was well before you had the underwear bomber. But they knew it was coming. It was part of their over-the-top satire. They knew there was an underwear bomber coming. And they showed the denigration that Americans are being subjected to. And it was done, it came out in July because it was part of the 4th of July. And it was like a Christmas carol. So it's appropriate to think about it this time of year. The individual who is Michael Moore character is visited by the ghosts of America's past. So he gets visits by George Washington and others who lecture Michael Moore on our legacy of freedom. That's why the liberals hated it so much. But it's a great film, really a great film. It's very funny, really lampoons the left. And in this particular spot here that we're going to play for you, it's kind of Rosie O'Donnell character and a Michael Moore character talking about all of these radical Christians who are terrorists and imagining priests who are jumping into the cockpit and hijacking it and stabbing people with their crosses, the pilots with their crosses, or the nuns who jump on a bus and shout Hail Mary full of grace before they blow themselves up. That's the way the left imagines Christians, okay? Totally projecting onto us the issues of Islamic terror. And then showing the results of this, saying that because of these radical Christians, we have to put you through this kind of airport security. So as you're traveling on this holiday weekend, whether you're traveling today or tomorrow or you're returning on Sunday, whatever, I want you to keep this in mind. So let's play this clip. And I think even if you're listening on the radio, you'll be able to catch much of what's on this. It's American Carol and the Fantasies of the Left.
Hold it. The civilized world braces itself for an onslaught of death and destruction brought on by radical Christians as they attempt
These
to spread
priests
their ideology through terror
spraying
throughout the world.
Camera so they can't see him. Now they break into the airplane cockpit and they're attacking the pilots with crosses and Bibles.
Jesus!
The nun blows herself up in the bus.
We all pay the price for the increased security needs caused by the actions of radical Christians.
But I hate having to take these off every single time.
Yeah, ever since that Christian hit explosives in the bottom of his shoes.
Sorry, you can't take this on the plane. I'll have to confiscate this.
A tube of toothpaste?
Yep, no liquids ever since the Christians tried to bomb that plane with smuggled nitroglycerin.
This was parody 10 years ago.
Please remove all articles of underclothing.
Oh, brother.
Ever since the underwear bomber.
The radical Christian underwear
bomber. This is before the underwear bomber. The radical Christian underwear bomber, they said.
Damn those Christians.
Yipes! My God!
Ma'am, if you had extra bleach, you might have a shot of getting those stains out.
Hey!
Ma'am, have you considered a change in diet?
What?
Honey,
wouldn't hurt. Ever since the suppository bomber.
The Episcopal suppository bomber.
The Episcopal suppository bomber. So, yeah, they have to get rectal exams because the Episcopal suppository bomber. And so we look at this, and we're there now, aren't we, pretty much? Except it's not Episcopal bombers. It's not nuns blowing themselves up on buses. But we are getting this done to us at the airports. And we played that a couple of weeks ago when we had Kurt Haskell, the guy who was on the plane with the underwear bomber, well after that movie was made. And he pointed out how it was a false flag, how it was a setup so they could get Michael Chertoff's machines that had already been manufactured in quantity into the airport right away on that Christmas holiday. And, of course, we had, after they put that in, we had an opt-out campaign that we started here at InfoWars. And what did they do? And that was, 2012, I think, or 11. It was the first Thanksgiving after the underwear bomber. It was before I got to InfoWars. They did an opt-out campaign, And what did the TSA do with that when people said, we're just going to opt out, you're going to have to pat us down? They just opened up the lines on the busiest travel day of the year, on Thanksgiving, holidays. They just opened up the lines and let everybody go through because they know it's not any problem. We're not under a threat here. And I say to you that we're not under a threat because of the documents that we've seen from them, because they opened things up on Thanksgiving holiday, and because they have admitted that it is 80, 90% or more. We can't get the exact figures from them because they don't want us to know. They have failed to detect on their own internal audits when they're trying to smuggle something through to see if the TSA people can intercept it. They fail 80 to 90% of the time or more to detect that. What does that tell you? When they say, well, we're going to have to tighten up the schedules here because, you know, we got to be right 100% of the time. Well, what does it tell you if they're wrong 100% of the time? It tells you that there is no threat. The same as they said in their documents that they accidentally posted up unredacted for a short period of time. And we got a shot of those on InfoWars. And you can go back and look at our archives if you want to see what that looked like. So that's what's happening to you as you travel. Meanwhile, as I said before, in Las Vegas, they want to make sure that they're going to have they're talking about having a ban on private cars between the Stratosphere all the way to Mandalay Bay. Because they don't want you to drive there. What is it going to do to our economy? You know, we see a lot of different pushes for this. They're saying, well, we got to do it for safety and security in Las Vegas. Because we had these cars that got in the way of the emergency vehicles, and that won't happen with these driverless cars. Oh, yeah, the driverless car that even though you had a slow-moving truck backing up, it couldn't avoid that accident. What do you think they're going to do when ambulances are flying down the street unexpectedly? What do you think those driverless cars are going to do? You think the Uber drivers or the buses are going to be much better? No. And then we got USA Today pushing the idea that driverless cars can transform our lives. Yes, they will. Probably not in ways that you want it. They can transform our lives, and they write this long story about how in retirement communities they can help the elderly, people who are handicapped, who can't drive. Yeah, they're going to make us all handicapped. They're going to make us all immobilized. This is going to be like Kurt Vonnegut's story, Harrison Bergeron, where they take everybody, handicap everybody, physically put shackles on ballet dancers so that they can't perform better than anybody else. Now, this is an enslavement tactic. And then the LA Times talks about, you know, this driverless revolution, it's going to have a big political price. It's going to have a political price because it's going to cost us a massive amount of jobs. They say when they showed a robotic truck going driverless down Interstate 25 in Colorado, said not everybody at the hearing was happy about that. They had the guy who was the secretary treasurer of the Teamsters, whose nearly 600,000 unionized drivers played no small part in President Trump's victory last year. They weren't too happy about that because they understand that there are going to be a lot of people, maybe 50% or more of the transportation industry, which is a big chunk of our economy, is going to lose their jobs if this is to happen. What is the effect of this? As I said before, it's going to be far worse than putting outsourcing jobs to foreign countries or bringing in cheap foreign workers. This is going to be a concentration of wealth and power into the hands of a few people who are going to own this infrastructure. They're the ones who are pushing it through. And as we've had one over-the-top safety regulation after the other, we'll talk about this when we come back. We're going to take a look at what they're doing with it. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. I'm David Knight. I want to finish up on the real cost of the driverless revolution. There's a lot of costs involved here that are not being talked about. And finally, the LA Times is actually talking about it. Eventually, we're all going to be looking at it. It might be better if we don't look at what happened in the rearview mirror. If maybe we look forward to see where these driverless cars are taking us, because it is a train wreck for our economy as well as for our freedom. And so we need to not be fooled as to what the true costs of this are. And then I'm going to get into the latest on the sexual assaults, because, you know, every day It is now somebody else. And as I reported yesterday, the true hypocrisy of what we're seeing from our political leaders, because you want to talk about sexual assault that's based upon power politics? Well, it's not going to be in the office, but it's going to be in the real politicians' offices, which is where this is really going to happen. And there's been some updates to that as well today. We're going to take a look at what's going on with it. Real quickly, I'll remind you of some of the specials that we have added to our Black Friday through Cyber Monday specials. We've added a couple of new items. We've got a lot of items that are 50% off plus free shipping. And you can see those at InfoWarsStore.com. We've added two today on Wednesday, the 22nd. Super Male Vitality has now joined the items on sale, 50% off plus free shipping. Also, Living Defense, now 50% off plus free shipping. And you can also find Brain Force, 50% off, free shipping. Knockout, our all-natural sleep aid, 50% off, plus free shipping. Silver Bullet, our colloidal silver product, is 67% off and free shipping. And all ProPure products are 25% off and free shipping. That can save you a lot of money if you get some of the bigger water filters like we have at my house. We've got the biggest one for the entire family. And that can save you a great deal of money, 25% off of ProPure items plus free shipping. All right, I was just talking about the cost to jobs. As the LA Times points out in its race to embrace driverless vehicles, Washington has cleared away regulatory hurdles. Who is it that's clearing away the regulatory hurdles? Well, that would be Mitch McConnell's wife. Isn't that convenient? All of the usual GOP establishment figures who are always there for big business, always taking away jobs from the little man, whether it is the foreign visa program to bring in cheap labor to take away jobs from people in the technical field or to take away people in the service industry, as we saw happen in Disney World. As a matter of fact, I got an article here from Breitbart. Foreign nationals outnumber Americans in high-paying white-collar Silicon Valley jobs. Well, thank you. Thank you, Washington, for the visas that you put in there because, you know, we just couldn't have a vibrant economy if we didn't import foreign workers into Silicon Valley. No, actually, it would just mean that the Silicon Valley multi-billionaires wouldn't have as much of a profit. They would still exist. They would just not have as much profit there. And, of course, we've seen the same thing happen with service jobs. Saying, well, we got to replace all these Disney workers, and folks, you're going to have to train your foreign replacement workers or you won't get any severance pay. That's another part of the visa program that comes in. Or the open borders that brings people in for low-paying service jobs that have made our teenagers unemployable because we have so many adults coming in to take the jobs that people used to take as teenagers, as people in high school. You would learn to work in an entry-level job. And now we have American teenagers who are not getting that kind of basic work experience, that kind of basic work ethic that was always there. Getting a job, saving the money, buying a car. Oh, wait a minute. You're not going to be able to buy a car either. That's a part of the problem, okay? They want to make sure that you just stay inside your home. You don't want to go outside and play as a kid because we'll call Child Protective Services on you if you're even playing in your own yard. We want you sitting on the couch, playing a video game or staring at your phone, and if you do anything else, we're going to hammer you down. That's really what's coming. And so what's going to happen to all the truck drivers? Yeah, this isn't Smokey and the Bandit anymore. We're going to end that opportunity for people. They say driverless vehicles threaten to dramatically reduce America's 1.7 million trucking jobs. Those people aren't going to be able to buy what you're selling, your services, your products here in America. And one person who has written a book called Rise of the Robots, Technology and the Threat of a Jobless Future. Yeah, think about that, folks, your jobless future. They're going to put you on universal basic income. You're going to be like the kept people in the Saudi kingdom where they put them all on welfare. And they're going to keep you dumbed down and pacified with universal basic income, just like they do the people in Saudi Arabia. The royal family is getting incredibly rich, and then they're putting everybody else on a little allowance to keep them quiet. And then if you get to be a threat, they arrest you and steal your money. that's the model for the future. We're the ones who created Saudi Arabia, and they want to bring Saudi Arabia structure here.
along with Islam. They're, the whole thing, they want to bring it all here. But this person who wrote this book, Martin Ford, the author of Rise of the Robots, Technology and the Threat of a Jobless Future, says, I don't think anybody there is thinking, that means Washington, I don't think anybody there in Washington is thinking about this seriously. They're still looking at this as futuristic. Oh, see, that's why they like to put the iPads in the dashboard and say, look, it's electric. It's totally clean. Not paying any attention as to where the electricity is being generated. They're not internal combustion engines. They're external combustion engines. The external combustion takes place somewhere else where you don't have to see it and know that it exists. And then they use those electric cars as a beard because, oh, look, they're so futuristic. They're so clean. And in it are all kinds of control mechanisms to track you, to tax you every mile that you drive, and to give information to insurance companies who will raise the rates so high that you won't be able to drive. And that'll be a soft way to ban you. They won't just come out and say, well, you're not going to be allowed to drive any cars, period. They'll do that in some places like Vegas and some other cities like New York. But for the most part, they'll just come out. For those of us who don't live in a hellhole like that, what they'll do is they'll say, we're going to just give all this information to the insurance companies, and the insurance companies will raise your rates so high that you won't be able to drive. They'll say, you accelerated too quickly, or you braked too quickly, or you drove too quickly, because they know exactly where you're driving, and they're going to record everything that you did. Or you drive too many miles. So we're going to raise your insurance rate really, really high, and you won't be able to even afford to drive. So that's a soft way of banning people. He says, once people start seeing vehicles on the roads and they start seeing jobs disappearing because of those self-driving vehicles, said the author, things will quickly become very different. And then there's a safety aspect of it. You realize, since Ralph Nader, the government has been on a mission from God to make cars totally safe, where nobody can fail or get injured in them. And we have, at the same time that they've been mandating all kinds of efficiency standards, they've been loading these cars up with very heavy safety equipment that makes it more difficult to get those fuel economy standards. And then increasing the price of the cars incredibly. Now the head of Advocates for Highway and Auto Safety says, we're at a time when there's already record recalls of vehicles because of safety defects. Why are we trusting these companies to do the right thing? Good question. Good question. You trust them to make perfectly safe cars when they're getting all kinds of recalls for very simple things. But they don't care. And they're not going to get your informed consent. They're going to experiment on the roads without your informed consent. That's what they're doing. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight. We're going to talk about sexual assault. Welcome back. I'm David Knight on this Wednesday, November 22nd. We've been talking about travel and the many ways that it's about to change, not for the better, I would add. But I want to move on to something else now. I want to talk about sexual assault. That's been in the news quite a bit. But I want to roll you back a couple of decades to the Clarence Thomas, Anita Hill trial. Yeah, anybody who sat through that trial has to be, I think that affects any of us who experienced that. In a different way than people who didn't go through that, the younger people, the millennials who did that. And I just want to review what happened with that. And there's an article, Powerline blog, written by Paul Mierengoff, says how Anita Hill betrayed feminism. Now, if you don't remember this, you remember there was the back and forth between Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas as part of his confirmation as Supreme Court Justice. And I would say Clarence Thomas has been, in my opinion, the best Supreme Court justice we've had in terms of his decisions. I like him even actually better than Scalia. He never argued for original intent the way that Scalia did. But in terms of the way that he voted, he's actually been more pro-freedom. And it was one of the things that Joe Biden really despised about Clarence Thomas, really hated the fact that Clarence Thomas had written about natural rights. In other words, the fact that we don't get our rights from government. Because if government granted our rights, they would be government-granted privileges. That's the difference between privileges and rights. Rights are something that you have naturally. Or as our founders put in the Declaration of Independence, that you are endowed with your creator by. So they come from God. Or if you don't believe in God, they're natural rights that you possess as a human being. Your individual dignity. That is the basis of rights. And the government wants to turn that into privileges. And Joe Biden wanted to keep him from becoming a Supreme Court justice because he believed in the principles of the Declaration of Independence. And then they came up with Anita Hill. And everybody was wearing these buttons. I believe Anita. I believe. And I couldn't find an I believe Clarence button. They weren't making I believe Clarence buttons because he wasn't deserved to be believed because he was a guy. And he was a conservative. That was the key thing. See, he didn't get any points for being black because he was a conservative. And then he lost big points for being a guy when Anita Hill came after him. But here's this this blog here, How Anita Hill Betrayed Feminism. And he says, feminists betrayed feminism by defending Bill Clinton against credible and in one notorious case admitted allegations of serious sexual misconduct. Those allegations were made just a few years after the Clarence Thomas Anita Hill controversy had put the issue of sexual harassment front and center in the nation's consciousness. Do you think this is a new thing? Do you think this is something we're just discovering, sexual harassment? No, it was talked about before Clinton became president. It was talked about during the presidency of George H.W. Bush. I don't know exactly the time of the Clarence Thomas Anita Hill thing. It was somewhere between 88 and 92 that they had this discussion. So everybody was talking about sexual harassment. And that was all anybody was talking about, just like right now. And he said, feminists, except for those who knew Clarence Thomas personally, nobody who knew him personally believed any of this stuff, they all believed Anita Hill's claims. And he says, the heightened consciousness of the problem of sexual harassment that existed following the Thomas Hill hearings subsided, however, after Clinton's presidency. Why? Because Anita Hill, who had accused Clarence Thomas, who had tried to keep him out of the Supreme Court with this he said, she said. Because, again, it was one of these issues where she said he did something and he said she didn't do it or whatever. I mean, you know, it was just whoever you believed, okay? And he said, I didn't do it. She said, you did do it. So who are you going to believe? It was a back and forth. And so after that, after Bill Clinton becomes president, and after he's accused of all these sexual assaults and violent attacks and rape and so forth, one of the people who defended him was Anita Hill. He said, Hill led the feminist charge to defend Bill Clinton, to preserve his presidency. Tim Russert asked Anita Hill about Gloria Steinem. There's another wonderful feminist from the CIA. Defense of President Clinton against the allegations of Paula Jones. Steinem had said, the truth is that even if the allegations are true, the president is not guilty of sexual harassment. He is accused of making a gross, dumb, reckless pass at a supporter during a low point in her life. She pushed him away, she said, and it never happened again. In other words, President Clinton took no for an answer. However, as this guy says, note that he also was exposing himself to Paula Jones. And this is Gloria Steinem, Miss Feminism herself, defending President Clinton, saying, even if these allegations are true, no big deal, because I'm a feminist, and I support President Clinton's politics. And then Anita Hill, when she was given that quote from Gloria Steinem by Tim Russert, said, women should focus on the bigger issues before casting judgment on Clinton for sexual harassment allegations. She said, I think what Ms. Steinem also says that we have to look at is the totality of the presidency and how he has been on women's issues generally. Is he our best bet, notwithstanding some behavior that we might dislike? And I don't think that most women have come to that point where we've said, well, this is so bad that even if he is better on the bigger issues, we can't have him as president. And then Russert asked her if there's not a double standard then for a liberal as opposed to a conservative. Because that obviously is, okay? Tim Russert was a great reporter. She said, I think it is a reality that we have to live with. We live in a political world, and the reality is that we want, there's larger issues other than just individual behavior. In other words, larger issues than sexual harassment, larger issues than violent sexual attacks, larger issues than rape. That's what Anita Hill, that's what Gloria Steinem were telling us 25 years ago. about the Clarence Thomas issues as they were defending then Bill Clinton. And so have things really changed that much? Especially when we get into a he said, she said. I mean, what's going to happen with that is that you're going to believe the person that you trust politically in most cases because you can't prove or disprove these charges. But let's take a look at John Conyers, who we do know now has something happening there because there's been some updates to this. Remember, it was just yesterday that BuzzFeed put out the article about John Conyers. And actually, that article came from Mike Cernovich, who's a host here at InfoWars. And as the Washington Post points out in their headline, why BuzzFeed teamed up with a far-right figure. Now, see, these people would not be Washington Post. They would never be far left. They wouldn't even identify themselves as left. But if you don't agree with them, if you're a conservative or you're a supporter of Donald Trump, you are a far-right figure. So they identify Cernovich as a far-right figure, a controversial, nevertheless, far-right figure who has promoted blatantly false conspiracy theories, says the Washington Post. But he was a source of a big BuzzFeed scoop Monday night. And why did he do that? Well, he said when he gave them the information, he said, I know that if I put this out, the mainstream media will not report it. And but it's true, and you can vet this, and if you think that it is true, after you vet it, then you put it out. And that's exactly what happened, and that's why the story got out, is because Cernovich gave it to BuzzFeed. And that scandal has now rocked the House Democrats with hypocrisy. Just as we saw with Anita Hill and Gloria Steinem, now all of these virtue-signaling feminists out there have to figure out what they're going to do with John Conyers. And he is maintaining yesterday. Well, he says, I expressly and vehemently deny the allegations made against me and continue to do so. My office resolved these allegations with an express denial of liability in order to save all involved from the rigors of protracted litigation. So he did a big hand, massive payoff just so they wouldn't have to have this exposed and keep it secret. And yet now we have, and he says, oh, it wasn't true. And now today we find another woman accused John Conyers of sexual harassment in court filings this year. This is not something that happened in the distant past. This is something that is going on right now with John Conyers, the most senior Democrat in the House of Representatives. Will they do anything about it? We'll tell you what these charges are, and we're going to take a look at where the Democrats are on sexual harassment and other sexual charges. When we come back, I'm David Knight. Stay with us. Welcome back. I'm David Knight, and we're going to talk about where we are today with sexual harassment, as it's now back in the news after 20-some-odd years. And as I just explained to you in the last segment, Anita Hill betrayed feminism. We're going to talk about what they're going to do now and why they're moving the way they are against certain figures and what the ultimate goal of this is in just a moment. Before we do, real quickly, I want to remind you of the cyber specials that we're running at InfoWars, part of our Black Friday through Cyber Monday specials. And we've added two new items to our list of deeply discounted products that are also available for free shipping. We've added Supermail Vitality and Living Defense, both of them 50% off. And they join Brain Force Plus and Knockout. Both of those are also 50% off plus free shipping. And we have Silver Bullet for 67% off plus free shipping. And all ProPure products, that's all the water filters, even the big ones, are 25% off. That's a big savings there because the big ones can get to be a couple hundred dollars regular retail price and free shipping. So I'll save you a lot of money if you're in the market for a water filter. If you don't have one, you should be in the market for a water filter. The very minimum that you should do to protect your health and your family's health, because regardless of whether you're on a well system or whether you're on municipal water, you never know what's in your water. You could be testing it every day and somebody could put it into the municipal system or something could get into the well water and you don't know what you're drinking, and stuff like that is happening all the time. So take a look at the specials that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We really do appreciate your support, and we're going to have a 34-hour marathon broadcast on Monday, so make sure you join us then. And also, Alex is going to be back live on Friday with his program. We'll have a rebroadcast of Real News on Friday as well as tomorrow. All right, let's talk about what's going on here, because we got another day and another woman coming after John Conyers. And it's exactly the same charges. Isn't it interesting that we see exactly the same motif happening again and again with all these people? They all have an M.O., as I've said before. It's a certain way that Bill Cosby comes after women. There's a certain way that we see C.S. Lewis coming after women and so forth. And what do we see from John Conyers? Another former staff member to John Conyers has alleged that she endured persistent sexual harassment. A former scheduler in the Conyers office attempted to file a sealed lawsuit against him this year, in the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia. She alleged she suffered unwarranted touching by John Conyers repeatedly, quote, repeatedly and daily, unquote. She abandoned the lawsuit the next month after the court denied her motion to seal the complaint. What does that tell you? What does that tell you about the atmosphere in Washington and the fact that we have $17 million that have been paid out to people who have been harassed by congressmen and so forth, people on Capitol Hill? And we're not allowed to know, even though we are paying the bill for this. And so she was only going to do this if it could get sealed. Why? Because the other person who did it had to sign an agreement, and her working days were over after she got a payoff of $27,000. The woman was not involved in that 2015 sexual harassment wrongful dismissal complaint that Conyers settled in 2015 that was revealed yesterday, that Mike Cernovich gave to BuzzFeed, and they vetted it, put it out. This lawsuit centered on behavior that took place later, from 2015 to 2016. So even though he came out and he said, I vigorously and vehemently deny these charges, I just did it to get it out of the way. And then he immediately starts doing it again with somebody else. Exactly the same behavior. These behaviors and actions were so common and pervasive that they created a hostile work environment, she alleged in the lawsuit. Unlike the settlement agreement, that was released on Monday, these court filings are public documents, so they were not sealed because she didn't go through with it. She also cited his age and his failing mental capacities in the lawsuit. That recalls, remember we had that article that was kind of strange that Drudge linked to? We had somebody had the Capitol Pharmacy. It was a small business, and they'd provided drugs for people on Capitol Hill, like going back into the 1800s. And it was kind of a special interest story that was being done by the local Washington paper. But there was an interesting little thing that was in there, that little passage that they said that Drudge seized upon and made it headlines on the Drudge Report. And the guy said, I'm amazed at some of these drugs that are here. We've got some drugs here that for people who have severely impaired mental capacities. And I've got to wonder if they're taking these drugs on a regular basis, if they even know what they're voting on or what they voted on yesterday. Maybe that's the case with John Conyers. He is the oldest, most senior guy there with the Democrats. Everybody at the time was thinking about Nancy Pelosi, but, you know, John Conyers. Now, in this lawsuit that happened this age, she cited his age and his failing mental capacities in the suit, saying that she was hired in part to keep track of his whereabouts. This guy sounds like he's got severe Alzheimer's or dementia or something like that. He does not need to be our congressman for a variety of reasons. She had to wake him up every morning. She had to deliver his medication, including on weekends. Wow. And she said that she had to ask a male staffer that she had dated earlier to be her quote-unquote fake boyfriend so that she could stop his advances. So this is a guy that is in such advanced age and failing mental capacities that he needs to have this woman hired as part of his staff to keep track of where he is so he doesn't wander off. She has to go to his place every morning to wake him up and deliver his medication, and she has to have a boyfriend to keep him from sexually assaulting her. But the Democrats don't want to have him step down yet. They are demurring from removing John Conyers from the powerful Judiciary Committee that he is now the minority leader of. Even though all these are sexual harassment allegations, we're seeing exactly the same type of behavior that we saw with Gloria Steinem and Anita Hill defending Bill Clinton at the height of all that. And in spite of his impaired ability, and believe me, these other Democrats in Congress know that his abilities are impaired. They work with him on a daily basis. How could they not know that? How could they not know that he is in such severe incapacity that he has to hire a staffer just to keep track of his whereabouts and deliver him medication and wake him up in the morning and get him dressed and take him in. He starts sexually harassing her. He was the founding member of the Black Caucus, so he gets a pass. And all this stuff about people coming out and saying, well, he paid the money out of his staff allowance. It's still taxpayer money. Still taxpayer money that is there. Let's hear what President Trump had to say. It's video clip five, guys. Let's hear what he had to say when he was asked, getting on the helicopter yesterday, if we should know who these people are that have had sexual harassment claims paid for by the taxpayer. Should we even be allowed to know who these people are? Here's what President Trump had to say.
Mr. President, do you believe Congress should release the names of lawmakers who have settled on sexual harassment claims?
I do. I really do. I think they should. Thank you.
Okay, so he just agreed with him. He said, yeah, we should know. And of course we should. Of course we should. He could have said more, but he was getting on the helicopter, and he had already made several comments about Roy Moore. They're going to play for you coming up. But then we have Charlie Rose. Charlie Rose. This is a tough week for the left. I mean, you know, first you got the icon, John Conyers, and now you got Charlie Moore. It's so sad for them, because for the left, it must be like finding out that Walter Cronkite was a cross-dresser and playing with J. Edgar Hoover. You know, what we're seeing from Charlie Rose. Now, the total number of women who have come forward, three more, and this brings the total number of accusers to 16, just hours after, within the last 24 hours, this has come out. And, of course, they're all saying, who knew? We had no idea that he was doing this. 16 women come forward and saying this guy is walking around without any clothes and making advances to us, and, of course, the people who worked very closely with him, his co-hosts, are like, we had no idea. It's so disturbing to find this out. You didn't have any idea? This is a pretty broadly based behavior when 16 women come forward and say, yeah, he's walking around without any clothes on in our presence and making overtures to us. That's the phoniness of the left. That's the phoniness of the media, the politicized media. And then there's this story from the Daily Mail about Charlie Rose. Yeah, nobody knew, did they? Except back in 2001, there was a movie called The Royal Tenenbaums. And they had a character there that was alluded to be Charlie Rose. He was a TV host. And everybody realized that that was supposed to be Charlie Rose. And in the movie, they have this Charlie Rose host groping Gwyneth Paltrow's breasts. So they didn't know. You know, it's kind of like the stuff that you see with the cartoons, you know, saying, help, I've just escaped from Kevin Spacey's basement. Or all these people making jokes about Harvey Weinstein. Well, they knew about Charlie Rose, too. And they can pretend when they go on the late night talk shows with Stephen Colbert and others who will help them along to in this pretense, in this charade, will help them along to say, well, they had no idea about Charlie Rose. Yeah. Okay, stay with us. We'll be right back. And I'm going to tell you where this is leading.
Universal deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I told you in the last segment that we're going to tell you where this is leading, and here's the payoff in this segment. Bill de Blasio, who worked for Bill Clinton, who was sworn in by Bill Clinton, now says that Bill Clinton should have resigned. Oh, what does this tell you? What does this tell you? This is 20 years after it happened. 20 years after it happened. And as USA Today points out, they say, it's time for another look at Trump's accusers, say liberals. See, this is where this is leading. All of this that we're seeing now, and the fact that, you remember, I started out with Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas. And the fact that Anita Hill, who had accused Clarence Thomas, and he said, she said, this is something that had happened when just the two of them were present. And nobody could tell who was telling the truth. So people would make their decisions based on politics or whatever. But Anita Hill, who insisted that she had been insulted and sexually harassed. I mean, there's no physical contact alleged, but that she would had insulting sexual remarks made to her by Clarence Thomas, which could not be proven. She later came in, and even though there were proven allegations against Bill Clinton, she became an apologist for him, as did Gloria Steinem. And that editorial that I read you earlier said that this basically shut down, these feminists destroyed the movement against sexual harassment, and to make sure that this wasn't going to happen. Their hypocrisy, the hypocrisy of people like Anita Hill and Gloria Steinem, shut that down and put it back to a footing where, yeah, anything goes. You're going to excuse what Bill Clinton did? Then I guess, all right, sexual harassment is fine as long as you're, guess what, powerful. What is this all based on? This is based on people who are powerful, people who are in position of power. So you're going to excuse that for Bill Clinton. Then that says basically, hey, if you're powerful and you can get away with it, you're Harvey Weinstein or you're Bill Clinton, you can get away with this stuff. So we're right back to where we started, or maybe worse, because they excused it for these people, openly excusing it for these people. So now you can look at this and you can say, well, I think that now they learned from that mistake, and so now they're coming after Clinton and all this. No. The reason they're coming after Clinton now is because they want to come after Trump tomorrow. That's why they're doing this. They're not going to let this stuff with Trump go away. And that's why Bill de Blasio, he worked for Clinton. He was sworn in by Clinton. He was quiet for 20 years. Now de Blasio is attacking him. Just as you saw Kirsten Gillibrand, who took Hillary Clinton's place, was going after Bill Clinton. Still kind of laying off of Hillary Clinton because she is a feminist icon, even though she attacked the women in a different way, but just as bad, perhaps worse than what Bill had done, because then she went after them publicly, went after their reputation, character assassination, calling them bimbos, bimbo eruptions. There were rape eruptions. And so we look at this situation from this report here from USA Today. They say 36 women who worked with Al Franken on Saturday Night Live stepped forward to lend him support. And so he's okay, because even though there's 7 or 8 women now who are talking about the behavior that he engaged with them, even though he was a writer who liked to write about his sick, perverted fantasies of, you know, drugging women, posing them, taking pictures of them in various poses, imprisoning them, raping them. That was a skit that he had set up with Leslie Stahl. It was a funny joke. Well, yeah, it was okay because it's funny. Except he kind of acts out on those fantasies too, doesn't he? As we've seen. But it's okay because some of the women who worked with him and know him came forward and said it's okay. But when women come forward to do the same thing for Judge Roy Moore, no. We can't give them any publicity whatsoever. The people who've known him publicly, worked with him, people who've known him privately, friends, family, wives, whatever. No. Don't listen to them. Because what they want to do is they want to clear out Bill Clinton, this hypocrisy that is hanging around their heads. And then they're going to come full bore on President Trump. That's what is next. Stay with us. We'll be right back. As I was saying at the top of the hour, if you're listening on radio and you had a news break, I'll just recap briefly what I was saying. I gave away where the ultimate goal of these sexual harassment charges, at least the political charges, are going. They're going towards President Trump. They have been hamstrung, the feminists have, by their defense of Bill Clinton. And that's why you see so many of these people turning against him. Bill de Blasio, who worked for Bill Clinton, who was sworn in by Bill Clinton. After 20 years, he's now saying Bill Clinton should have resigned. They're trying to clear the decks, and they're attacking the Clintons for a variety of reasons. Look, they don't like the fact that Hillary Clinton tried to make them the scapegoats for her failed campaign in her What Happened book. And she's got this worldwide whining tour where she's blaming everybody. throughout the Democrat Party, inside the Democrat Party, outside the Democrat, everybody is to blame but Hillary Clinton for her failed campaign. So that didn't make her very popular with them. They would like for her to go away. They realize how incredibly and criminally corrupt they are. We just had Charles Ortel on yesterday talking about the Clinton Foundation and the legal liability they have. So they want to be distancing themselves from the criminal crime family of the Clintons as well. But there's another aspect here, too. And that is that the ultimate goal on this, as USA Today is saying, it's time for another look at Trump's accusers. Trump is the ultimate goal when they're coming at this. We see that the guy in the box right now is Roy Moore. But again, as I said before, the ultimate target of this is Donald Trump. And when you look at Roy Moore is a proxy in this fight in the GOP civil war. You know, it's Mitch McConnell has been saying he's taken the line. These conservative candidates that are knocking out the establishment GOP, the rhinos that won't do anything once they get there because all they want is power. He is saying, you know, you guys pick conservatives, you pick Tea Party candidates, and they're losers. And so he wants to make that case here with Mitch McConnell. And it will strengthen his hand if that happens. And then on the other side, if Roy Moore wins, you're going to start getting more conservative candidates, and you're going to get people like Roy Moore who are going to push back against Mitch McConnell, this fake Republican who says one thing and does another, this representative of the Uni Party. He's going to push back against it, and Mitch McConnell is going to be out as leader, whether he is majority leader or minority leader. He wants to stay leader. And if he has to lose a GOP majority, he's fine with that, as long as he stays the leader of these establishment Republicans in Washington. And so what we got now is a GOP civil war. And this election of Roy Moore is really kind of a Gettysburg, if you will. It is going to be a turning point in the war, one way or the other. And let's hope that these allegations are going to turn into Pickett's charge for Mitch McConnell. Let's hope that that's what happens. But to give you an idea of where we're going, and if you don't think this is ultimately leading to Trump, just think about the fact that for the year we've had this fake Russian stuff going on. It's still going on. I want to play for you a clip from Alan Dershowitz talking about Mueller, talking about the whole idea of a special counsel. Here's Alan Dershowitz, who is promoting a book on Fox News. It's called Trumped Up. And he has some real legitimate concerns with special prosecutions, and especially with what's going on in this particular instance. Here's what Alan Dershowitz has to say.
A lifelong Democrat, and you wrote the book on all of this, on this investigation, Trumped Up.
Yep.
What's your take on this latest development?
Well, I think it's very worrying. I think it shows that Mueller is going well beyond his authority as a prosecutor and is trying to make a case that the president might have engage in obstruction of justice by engaging in constitutionally protected act. The president is entitled to fire the head of the FBI. The president's entitled to yes. direct his attorney general who to investigate, who not to. That's what the law has been since Thomas Jefferson directed his attorney general to go after Aaron Burr. If we want to change it, we should change it by legislation or constitutional amendment, but you can't change the law by having a prosecutor make a crime out of something that's a constitutionally protected act.
But it doesn't matter what his motivation was. I mean, it seems like that's what they're seeking with the emails and the communications
motivation.
Between the team.
This is the Fox News reporter.
They're looking for the motivation.
Do we really want to psychoanalyze every president's motivations? How many of the motivations are political? How many of them are opportunistic? You know, you vote for a president. We're entitled as citizens to look into the president's mind and speculate and say he was badly motivated. I don't see that the prosecutor should have a right to turn a constitutionally protected act of the president into a crime by speculating about what his motive might have been.
So this originally was
hold it right there. That's the key thing. This is a Fox reporter interviewing Alan Dershowitz, a lifelong Democrat. Alan Dershowitz is defending the rule of law here. And you've got this woman from Fox News saying, but what about his motives? His motives don't matter if he's following the law. And we see this happening with all these judges who are second-guessing Trump's orders on immigration and so forth. They never did that with Obama. So it's purely political. But they're using, these judges are saying, well, I think that this is what he wants to do, and I don't agree with that, so therefore I'm going to block this order. It doesn't matter. You look at the order. Is the order, the written order, is it legal or not? And this is where we get when we wind up accepting the idea that the Supreme Court can just ignore the rule of law and start to that we have a living document in the Constitution, that they need to be able to reinterpret that and to reflect the ideas of the voters. Alan Dershowitz said, there's no reason to start to psychoanalyze his motives. That's not the purpose of courts. It's not the purpose of prosecutors. But see, the special prosecution is about going after a man. And if you're going to go after a man, you're going to start looking at you're going to start psychoanalyzing him. And I think it's interesting to see that back and forth between a Fox reporter who is pushing this subjective standard of law and pushing the idea that we're going to continue to do this personalized investigation of Donald Trump. And you've got a Democrat who is actually saying, no, actually, we have a rule of law here. It's the voters can make a judgment about this person's character and their motivations and so forth. They can psychoanalyze people, but that's not the purpose of these courts. So now let's go to Roy Moore, the person who is in the box right now, the proxy in this GOP civil war. Conservative Tribune points out that even in the face of this smear campaign, that contributions have gone up significantly for Roy Moore. His campaign manager said that the campaign had actually raised more cash over the past 10 days than they had during the previous entirety of the race, including $500,000 in just three of those 10 days. Is that enough? He says donations are pouring in from Alabama and all over the country in an unprecedented way. However, as they point out, he's not the only one who's getting an influx of cash from Alabama and all over the country. The NBC News reports that Doug Jones has been making a lot of money and even more. They say that Roy Moore got $500,000 in just three of those 10 days. Well, guess what? Doug Jones is getting about $250,000 per day. They said this is like Ossoff level money. Remember Ossoff, the guy in Georgia that they spent $30 million on a congressional campaign? $30 million. It wasn't that long ago, it was year 2000, that Al Gore accused George W. Bush of trying to buy the election because he spent about $100 million. He says, this is crazy. And I think Al Gore at the time had spent like $60 or $70 million, something like that. And now $30 million for a congressional race the Democrats spent in Georgia. They lost, by the way, but they spent that money. So this is the kind of money that is pouring in. Then we see an ex-Alabama cop comes in and says, well, I was told that I had to watch Roy Moore because he harassed cheerleaders at ball games in the 80s. She said that he had been suspended from the Gadsden Mall because he would often target young females. However, the manager at the mall says, no, Roy Moore was not banned from the mall. And as New American points out, one of the strangest allegations leveled against Roy Moore is that he was banned from a shopping mall. And the guy who was the manager there told a local station, yeah, it's part of the job. We get written reports on people, but he was not banned from the mall. The New Yorker went there and said they tried to verify this, but there are no records. And nevertheless, we have this smear campaign continuing to go on from somebody who says, yeah, he was banned from the mall. Again, it's another he said, she said. But when we come back, we've got more on Roy Moore. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm David Knight. In the next segment, we're going to have Lionel join us. So stick around for that. Also, we've got a couple of new specials that we've added to our Black Friday Cyber Monday specials at InfoWarsStore.com. We've added Super Male Vitality and Living Defense, both 50% off and free shipping. It joins a lot of other products like Brain Force Plus, Knockout, Silver Bullet that are 50% off plus free shipping. Actually, Silver Bullet is 67% off plus free shipping. And all of our ProPure products are 25% off and free shipping. So take a look at the weekly specials that we have at InfoWarsStore.com, and we thank you for your support. As I was saying in the last segment, Roy Moore is the man in the box right now. Roy Moore is the proxy in this fight in the Civil War in the GOP. And there have been a couple of press conferences in the last 24 hours. Donald Trump has weighed in on this race. We're going to play what he had to say in just a moment. But let's play what the Moore campaign said yesterday as they met. They're talking about the fact that Mitch McConnell has spent $30 million trying to stop Judge Roy Moore, and that was before any of these allegations about sexual misconduct came out. well before that. And as I pointed out, against not only Roy Moore, but against Mo Brooks in Alabama. So Mitch McConnell has been using your money, if you donate to the Republican Party, the Senate Leadership Fund, GOP Senate Leadership Fund. He's been spending 150, it's either 150 or 160. I worked out the math. I reported on that a week or two ago. But 150 to 160 times the amount of money against conservative Republicans that Mitch McConnell has spent against Democrats to defeat them. But here's what the Moore campaign had to say yesterday.
Over the past several months, the Washington Post, the Republican establishment, and the Democrat Party have waged a three-front war to destroy Judge Roy Moore's character and impeccable reputation.
If you can be tricked, Alabamians, with a $30 million from Mitch McConnell, maybe it's 40 by now, and the Washington Post fake stories, if you can be tricked in 2 weeks about Judge Roy Moore, then they win.
They win. That's right. It'll be over. And how is it right now? We've seen a couple of different polls coming out. We've seen two polls that say that it's a dead heat. As I reported yesterday, one of those polls that says it was dead, it is a dead heat, said it was a dead heat in the runoff election between Moore and Luther Strange, Mitch McConnell's candidate. And that, of course, was not a dead heat. Moore won that by 9 points. Now, there's another poll that has come out, reports Breitbart, saying that Judge Roy Moore leads Doug Jones by 6 points. And this one has the largest number of voters polled as I've seen in any of these polls. That's 11,600. Some of the polls have as few as 600 people that they poll. The other one that was a 50-50 tie was 3,000 people. One of them 600, the other was 3,000. This is almost 12,000 people. The survey shows Roy Moore tracking down slightly since the allegations were released by the Washington Post, but still holding a 5.9% lead, said the pollster. So we're still waiting to see what happens. And again, it's another week or so. It's beginning of December, I think, that the election is going to be there. Politico says Doug Jones can beat Roy Moore. But there's one big problem. What is that problem? The problem in Alabama, and we're going to give you some other issues here, but the real big problem for people in Alabama is Doug Jones's position on abortion. Remember at the beginning of the program, we played that clip for you of the San Diego abortionist getting in the face of the protester there and having a demonic fit. I mean, just whether he was trolling him or not, I mean, the guy was really hateful. And he's holding a pair of scissors. And they've been under investigation for a lot of misconduct. And you see in that still picture that he was right in his face, so close that you couldn't see his face in the recording. He's lost his medical license. That clinic has been shut down. They want to say that it's a women's health clinic, but they've had women who've nearly died there because they wouldn't take the right kind of care for them. And that is a big issue. But a person who supports this every bit as much is Doug Jones. As Politico says, left-leaning Politico says, there's one potentially crippling problem for Doug Jones in Alabama. His extreme position on abortion. In a recent interview, NBC's Chuck Todd asked Doug Jones, what are the limitations that you believe should be in the law when it comes to abortion? And Jones responded, he's a firm believer. This is a quote. I'm a firm believer that a woman should have the freedom to choose what happens to her body. And he affirmed his support for contraception, a woman's right to, quote, the abortion they might need. When Todd asked him if that meant that he would support a ban on abortion after 20 weeks, Jones replied that he was, quote, not in favor of anything that would infringe on a woman's right to choose, unquote. He said, however, once a baby is born, I'm going to be there for the child. That's where I become a right to lifer. So he becomes a right to lifer after the baby is born, which means that evidently he would support full-term abortions. That's the alternative to Roy Moore, for those of you in Alabama. You should understand that. You should understand that. And he goes on to say that he supports federal funding for abortion. And Politico points out this is a position that would overturn 40 years of bipartisan policy on the matter. We have never had federal funding for abortion here in the U.S. But Doug Jones, Roy Moore's opponent, supports that. This is what President Trump had to say yesterday as he was about to board a helicopter. He was asked about Roy Moore. Here's President Trump.
I can tell you one thing for sure. We don't need a liberal person in there, a Democrat, Jones. I've looked at his record. It's terrible in crime. It's terrible in the border. It's terrible in the military. I can tell you for a fact, we do not need somebody that's going to be bad on crime, bad on borders, bad with the military, bad for the Second Amendment. Look, he denies it. I mean, if you look at what is really going on and you look at all the things that have happened over the last 48 hours, he totally denies it. He says it didn't happen. And, you know, you have to listen to him also.
That's right. And so, you know, most of the charges, except for the ones put out there by Gloria Allred, which are looking pretty fraudulent at this point. I mean, not only the handwriting and the details about what was put on that signature, but also what people who had worked at that restaurant said. Said, no, he wasn't a regular customer. No, she wouldn't have been waiting on him if he went to the counter every day. No, there weren't any dumpsters in the back. No, it wasn't dark. It was very well lit, and it was by a four-lane highway, and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of questions about those allegations. And again, when it comes down to it, it's right down to, really, you're back to the politics. So back to Anita Hill versus Clarence Thomas. Who are you going to believe in a he said, she said accusation like that? And as President Trump pointed out, he said he's terrible on crime, he's terrible on the border, he's terrible on the military, and he's very bad on abortion as well, which would matter to conservative voters in Alabama. Roy Moore, meanwhile, has come out and started calling his opponent, Doug Jones, a Mexico First opponent. He said the Mexico First policies of Doug Jones are straight from the pit of the failed Obama administration. They have no place in Alabama. Certainly not in the vacated seat of Jeff Sessions. Jones, in interviews, has consistently supported the DREAM Act and expanding the DREAM Act. Roy Moore, on the other hand, has said there is no such thing as a dreamer because there wasn't a law passed to create that act. That was a series of memos put out by the Department of Homeland Security. So we need to look at that as this fight is coming up. It's coming up very quickly. It's the Democrats want to do this before the end of the year. Paul Ryan says, oh, don't worry about it. We can do it in the spring. And, of course, they're going to be pushing. Many of the uni party are going to be pushing an extension of the Dreamer Act and of chain immigration. And what's going to happen if we don't have people who are going to fight against that? Stay with us. We'll be right back. Lionel is going to be joining us.
Disinformation. It's your host, live and uncensored, David Knight.
Welcome back. Lionel is joining us, and I want to get his take on some of these issues. Of course, Lionel, you can find him on YouTube, Lionel Nation, on Twitter, at Lionel Media. And Lionel, we've got this article here. Of course, President Trump came out and endorsed Roy Moore yesterday. He said, we don't want a liberal, and he said his opponent is bad on all these other issues. And then James Comey tweeted out a quote from Jane Addams and said, the essence of immorality is the tendency to make an exception of myself. And I looked at that and I thought, does he not realize the hypocrisy here? James Comey, who made an exception for Hillary Clinton, who said, look, she violated all these national security laws, all these felonies, but we're not going to do anything about it. But don't you try this at home. I mean, you want to talk about selective exceptions of morality? This guy who is a poster child for double standards and corruption in government, James Comey, takes a swipe at Donald Trump for that. What do you think, Lionel?
I can't believe it. It's unmitigated. I don't know if it's audacity, hubris. I don't even know what the terms are. You know.
Hubris, I'd say. Yeah.
I got to tell you something, David. These are the most amazing times where I feel like I'm in a parallel universe where I'm so used to this insanity, and I don't want to in any way hijack anything. Not far be it from me. But I got to ask you this question: for $25,000 in a new car, can you tell me why, out of this seemingly endless legion of pedophiles, creeps, cruds, you name it, why is it that all of them tend to be, quote, liberal, seemingly progressive? And I've been thinking about this. I mean, you can go down the list. What do they all have in common? Charlie Rose and this and that. That's question number one. Number two, these people, David, love to talk about you and your guns as far as being some kind of a weird psychosexual connection between you and your gun, you know, some extension of whatever.
Exactly.
Some masculine
phallic symbol or something, symbol, a power symbol, that type of thing, yeah.
Right. Now, meanwhile, you know, you and I are saying, well, I would like just to maybe sort of maybe have a handgun just to protect myself and my family. What are you, crazy? You're a lunatic. You're sick. Meanwhile, they're grabbing every.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Oh, he froze. That was not intentional. We've lost contact with him. Perfect observation, though. Turning handguns. Okay, he's back. Okay, you froze there for a second on our feed, but you're back now. Go ahead, Lionel.
Well, you know, it's funny. Whenever that happens, people say, the NSA, they're moving in. It's like, get easy. But what they're doing is they're so demented by this. And I'm thinking, I'm the nut because I want to utilize the Second Amendment. You're grabbing people. And the pedophile issues have not even come. We haven't even gone near that one. But here's the thing that I'm wondering about. Here's the million-dollar question. You know, David, for the longest time, and I do not consider myself, I'm sorry, I hope I'm not bursting any bubbles here, but I don't consider myself a conservative or any kind of label. I don't really know I never understood what that meant. I always thought conservatives in the old days were kind of stodgy and liberals were, they made it sound cool, but it turns out they're basically baseless. But here's an interesting thing. People who for the longest time said, I want to respect sex. I want to respect marriage and sex before marriage. And I want to be rather, okay, maybe Victorian. Maybe I'm old fashioned. Maybe I'm this. Maybe I'm that. It turns out that might be the reason why we don't have this sexual disrespect, the assault, because of this debauched lunacy. Maybe this mindset that's constantly trying to hyphenate gender. My God, gender, male, female, oh no, crypto, LGBTQIA, / hashtag dash, you know, whatever. So maybe in a very strange way, this conservative lifestyle, behavior, mindset that actually respected sex and commitment and emotion and love, maybe that was the perfect vaccination, to use that term, against this horrid pedophilia, pederasty, this paraphilia.
Yeah. And of course, they let that go. They push that institutionally to kindergartners. And that's the amazing thing to me about it, is that they will talk about the fact, oh, look, these are 14, 15, 16-year-old girls, right? But they're teaching kindergartners about transgender and gender fluidity. And it's like they're not of the age where they can even process that, where they even understand what you're talking about. And what they're doing is they're doing stuff that's not only way inappropriate for these kids, but they're pushing the idea that if these kids can decide what gender they are, then they can give informed consent for sexual acts. That's where we're ultimately headed with this. And we just had Rex Tillerson celebrating Transgender Day of Remembrance at the State Department on Monday. I mean, it's crazy stuff.
What does that mean? Remember, I mean, who? Christine Jorgensen? I'm dating myself constantly. Hey, by the way, Dave.
Maybe J. Edgar Hoover. I don't know. It's like.
You know, you and I are from a generation. We just lost David Cassidy. I don't think people understand what that was about. But I got to tell you something else. You know, 54 years ago was our red pill moment. And I got to tell you something. Do you realize at that particular time, we didn't even know what the word conspiracy theory meant. The CIA had not, boy, I am like jumping ahead. I mentioned JFK. Now you got David Cassidy. I'm going to have your poor people in tech going crazy. But this guy make up his mind? Ham sandwich. Quick, Jennifer, ham sandwich on rye. Anyway. But
we'll put a partridge in the pear tree as a remembrance this year for David. But, go ahead.
And don't forget, the Partridge family were based on the cow sills. Okay?
That's right. That's right. Talking I know. About yeah. We're at the same time. Yeah. You and I are on the same page.
You and I in this relic, this history. But but when JFK and Mark Lane and these guys came along and they said, hey, I think there's something to this to this. This story doesn't make any sense. People said, hey, you're right. I want to find out about it. My God, they killed our president in front of us. Well, let's get to the bottom of this. Today, I was like, oh, what are you, nuts? What are you, some, daring to question the government? You tinfoil hat lunatic. These were innocent times when we said, I accept knowledge. Here, set me free, knowledge. Let me know. Don't let me grovel. Don't let me be in any way, offended by being, double-crossed by my country. If there was the remotest chance that this great man would have been killed by any group of people, we wanted to know. Today, we have this reluctance where we don't want to talk about any, unless it's Roy Moore, then we're going to talk about. But look at how we changed, David. There was a time when it was okay to ask these questions. You weren't considered a lunatic. This is where, let me just make this say, your government in conjunction with the mob and every conceivable rat's nest of conspirators took this man out. Now, who was the actual shooter? What was the actual reason? Those things can be debated, but it is without a doubt certain that the Warren Commission is a fiction. And it was the first time, and I remember as a kid, I didn't understand what was going on, but they told me from the beginning, this Oswald could not have this, this thing was so replete. And David, that's when I started down this path. That was my red pill moment before I knew what the hell a red pill moment was.
And everybody said, the FBI said, stop with the conspiracy theories. It was a lone shooter. We said, we know it's not a lone shooter. Stop with your magic bullet theories. We don't buy that either. And yet today, we've got a situation where it's not just the assassination of the president, but it's even the fact that we've got all these sexual assaults that are happening in Congress. They're paying out $17 million, and we're not even allowed to know who these people are. We got to search around in the hidden documents to find that and leak it. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Lionel. I'm David Knight. To Lionel. I want to get back to what we're just talking about. The awakening of America. And I think we've been a big part of that here at InfoWars. So much so, in fact, that they want to shut us down. And part of that is economic censorship. You have stood with us and we really appreciate that. It's one of the things that we'll be thankful for this Thanksgiving. Hope you have a great Thanksgiving. We've added some new products to our Black Friday through Cyber Monday specials. Super Male Vitality and Living Defense at 50% off plus free shipping. They join products like BrainForce Plus and Knockout, 50% off plus free shipping. Silver Bullet, 67% off and free shipping. Also, all ProPure products, 25% off and free shipping. Big savings on that. So thank you so much for your support. Take a look at the products that we sell at InfoWarsStore.com. That's what supports this program and everything that we do here, and we do appreciate your support. And the products that you buy there. You know, Lionel, you were just talking about JFK. You're talking about people waking up. Well, some of the people that have woken up are, say, your favorite guy there, Bill de Blasio. This is a guy now criticizing Bill Clinton and saying that Bill Clinton should have resigned. Bill de Blasio, who was sworn in by Bill Clinton, who worked for him for years, and now 20 years on, he's saying, he should have resigned a long time ago. What do you make of the fact that we got all these Democrat rats that are jumping off of the Clinton ship? Do you think that's all there is to it, or is there something else down the line? I think they're coming after, they're setting this up to come after Trump, I think, to reopen all these sexual allegations about him.
The signal has been given, the sound the klaxon. They are through with these Democratic. Yeah. In fact, we may have talked about this before. Democratic big donors are just disgusted with the Clintons, with Hillary. And by the by, they're not done with the Clinton Foundation. That fraud, that incredible fraud that we did. And you had on the amazing, a great friend of mine, Charles Ortel, who was just. I mean, he is the Carl Sagan of this. It sounds rather...
Billions and billions of dollars. Yeah, that Carl Sagan, yeah.
Exactly. Precisely. But also...
And he pointed out, too, Lionel, yesterday, he said, "This is you're talking about the big donors, big Democrat donors through the Clintons. They are worried because it's the big globalist foundations and the big donors. Boy, they could get roped into this because all of those IRS records are there, and it wasn't ever a valid charity. So that could all bounce back to them along with penalties and interest. Yeah.
For 20 years. Remember, Enron was a for-profit fraud. The United States government says, look, you want to screw pensioners, that's your business. You want to hose the American people, that's fine. You deprive us of taxes and phony deductions for some phony, baseless, you know, unverified charity? Oh, no, no, no.
That's right.
You know, so, but I got to tell you, David, sometimes the hardest part is trying to say, okay, I'm going to handle this, and then I'm going to go to this subject, because I wake up and it's like, I don't even know where to start. First, we have to say something. There is somebody sounded the alarm. This is not Hollywood. I had some people say to me, would you get off this Hollywood sex stuff? We're not talking about Hollywood sex. That's not it. We're talking about, it's like somebody said, it's okay. Get them. Clean this out. Think of it as a large, and I'm sure there's some connection to your wonderful products, some laxative, some colon blow, or removing
Oxy powder. Yeah.
Yes, whatever you want to call
big
it.
Dose of Oxy powder, and it's turning around, yeah.
This is a clogged bezoar, that thing that John Wayne supposedly had. Remember that whenever they do these weekends? Did you ever hear those ads? John Wayne had 50 pounds of undigested, blah, I don't know, whatever. But that's what's happening. And these people are not necessarily just entertainment. It's not about Charlie Rose. No, no. Charlie Rose was the globalist darling, the CFR trilateral. This is a guy who, when Brooke Astor had her deal, when her son-in-law or son Tony, there was some charge of fraud. You should have seen the witness list. David Rockefeller, Charlie Rose, he's the Park Avenue Upper East Side globalist CFR. Oh, and this one here. Let me tell you what she's doing. These people are incredible. Gail King goes on TV and says, I can't even talk about this anymore. You've been talking about this on every show. She said, I could only sleep an hour and 42 minutes. Oh, you timed it? I had to call Oprah. And people are saying, oh, wait. What's going on with this?
And there's 16 people, Lionel, and she pretends that she doesn't know that any of this stuff was going on. I mean, this is worse than J. Edgar Hoover. At least J. Edgar Hoover wore a dress and high heels. Rose didn't wear anything, right?
Maybe, but just for Clyde Tolson. But here's the deal. Look, I heard about Charlie's Angels years ago. I didn't even work there. You mean to tell me somebody in the CBS building on 57th Street never hears this? But here's the deal. This shows you how diabolical these are. They are sticking knives in Charlie. Why? Because CBS is third. So all of a sudden they're floating. Let's get Oprah in. Oprah and her best friend, Gail, with Nora. This would be a ratings powerhouse. And you know, and I know, somebody said, wait a minute. Who knows? These people are so diabolical. They might have sped this Charlie thing along because you know there's a morals clause somewhere. You know there is something that will excuse CBS or PBS of any you violate. You've brought ignominy and shame and opprobrium to our organization. Well, now you have just waived whatever. But aside from that, I kept thinking to myself, why is Gail King going on that horrid Stephen Colbert? By the way, David, if ever I've ingested large amounts of poison and you don't have any syrup of Ipecac in an emergency room, show me any rerun of Stephen Colbert and I will wax Vesuvius like in my projectile emesis as he makes me sick. But anyway, but why is Gail going up? Because they're setting it up to bring in, they're pushing Charlie out. You're done, old man. 75 years old. You're toast. You're Elvis. Out the door you go. Bring in Oprah. Bring in Gail, bring in this to forge ahead. You don't think Les Moonves is smart enough to see this one coming? You talk about conspiracies. These people would make Alex and you look like pikers. These people, they are as Machiavellian as you can imagine. So
we're not Machiavellian.
Well, I mean,
we may be conspiracy theorists, but we're not Machiavellian. Yeah, I got your point. Go ahead.
No, but this is so this is tumbly here. Nobody knows what's happening. And also in the meantime, you got to hear this one. RT and Sputnik. God bless RT. RT, you know, you talk about conspiracy. RT, these are the greatest people in the world. 6 months ago, people said, RT? Is that like RFD? Is that Mayberry F. Kenberry? Now, RT? Is that like KFC? What is RT? Now it's, where do I get it? How do I see this? Because now it's verboten. It's yeah. Dangerous. Oh, I got to see this. Are these people idiots? You just gave them the best platform ever. So here we have this guy, Quigley, in front of the world saying, now, how come you can't? I saw something the other day. Why he hasn't affected his southern accent, I have no idea. But why he? I saw an InfoWars hashtag about terrorism. How did that happen? Well, sir, it happens because civilians and citizens like that. Let's say, oh no, we'll take care of that. Well,
yeah.
This is he stupid? And then you have other people asking Google, and how come these things are being monetized? Well, we'll take care of that. Hello? Now, here's the best part.
And now they got Google putting a whole bunch of Snopes things under Alex Jones there, as if Google is some arbiter of truth. It's
better
amazing.
Better yet, yeah. Quickly, YouTube, who is going to demonetize you if you ever talk about Trump, has a kids section. A kids section with Elsa Gate and every kind of sexual predilection and defecatory and excremental reference in YouTube Kids, and you didn't see that?
Right.
You didn't realize this? Did you? Have you been seeing the pedophilia? The references? Are you kidding me? You're worried about somebody daring to mention InfoWars or actual terrorist attacks, and you under you, let me say this again, YouTube Kids.
That's right. That's right.
What?
Absolutely.
I mean, David, and what? We're crazy? We live in a world? You can't write this stuff. I think somewhere it says, listen to me. Again, why these accents? I have no idea. Let's do this to drive Alex crazy. I've got an idea. We're going to demonetize Paul Joseph Watson for daring to say something true. Let's have a YouTube Kids section that promotes pedophilia. What do you say?
That's absolute insanity. Absolute insanity. Well, that's it for our broadcast today. Thank you so much for joining us, Lionel. Have a great Thanksgiving, Lionel. And to all of you listeners, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope you have a great Thanksgiving. And if you want to follow Lionel, you can find him on YouTube, Lionel Nation. Also, Twitter, @LionelMedia. We'll see you later. Have a good Thanksgiving. Bye-bye.